Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Wilbur and Joyce, love seeing you out there. Great to have you. Harlan, Wanda, love seeing you guys here worshiping. It's so fun. Who else we got here added to the crew? The Hale family. Always love having the Hales up. Great to have you guys. We'll make sure we get you an IU mask before you leave. Amen. And the whole church said. No, I'm just kidding. We got a lot of Purdue people around here. I know I'm outnumbered, so I'll stop that fight right now. If you will, grab your Bibles and flip with me. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, we're going to go to 171. We're going to go through the book of Judges today and kind of get inspired by a whole bunch of people's weaknesses. I don't know about you, but sometimes I like knowing that there's other people that struggled. And I'll tell you, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone in Scripture who didn't have a bunch of weaknesses that they had to overcome and power through. And also, I just know this, that God likes to pick his team with those that are the weakest. He says, You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I choose the things that the unwise, the frailties, I choose the things that are lesser than all of the time because I want to show myself strong on your behalf. And I don't want to load my team up with all the stud muffins. I actually want to load my team up with a bunch of weaklings because nobody else can claim the glory in your own strength. It's only by the power of God that you've been able to overcome. And so when we set the table like that, it's fun to think that God is a God. When he's picking teams, he usually picks the weakest first. I don't know how it went down for you in school, but we would pick teams for dodgeball, kickball, whatever, and it's like, I'll take him, you take her, you got her, you kind of pick teams back and forth. And then whoever's kind of left over, anybody been that leftover pick? You're kind of like, you don't really get picked, you just get allotted to a team. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll take him, you take him. All right, let's go. And it seems like God's all about that. The ones that just have these things that might overshadow their lives, these huge weaknesses where no way would somebody pick them to be on the team. And God's like, yep, I'm going to use them as a leader. I'm going to raise them up as the next one. I'm going to do something powerful in them. You just never know. God does some pretty awesome and amazing things. And I have a lollipop in my pocket from Nora. I don't need that. Thank you, Dustin. Not sure how that got in there. All right, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to go. Okay, if you will, flip with your Bibles to the book of Judges. And we're going to go through Judges. Just to paint a little bit of a backstory, here's what's happening. Is the people of Israel have been led by this man named Moses. And Moses has led the people out of Egypt and out of slavery. And he's led them through the wilderness. And then a man comes up by the name of Joshua and Caleb. And they help lead the people to the promised land. Joshua and Caleb are absolute monsters in the faith. And these are those that spied out the land when everybody else said there's no way that we can do it. They said there's no way we can't do it. We've got to pursue this thing, right? There was just something about Joshua and Caleb's faith that wanted to power them through. And then after Joshua and Caleb die, they're saying now we need more leadership. And they weren't at the point to start putting in kings, but they started putting in leaders called judges. And so these are the judges that started ruling over the people of Israel. So as we dive in here, we're going to go through a few of these judges. In chapter 3, the very first one that we see is a man by the name of Othniel. Othniel is the younger brother of a man named Caleb. And I just told you about Joshua and Caleb. He's the younger brother of a man named Caleb. And Caleb had huge faith in God and accomplished unbelievable things in God. Caleb's name means strong dog or a warrior dog. I love that name. That's my middle name. Right in the middle of me is this strong dog, right? And Caleb is this guy that just kind of probably larger than life, probably cast a shadow over some of the other siblings. Can you imagine growing up and you're the younger brother of somebody who accomplished everything? They were the 1,000-point scorer. They were number one in the class. They're the one that got the whatever, the Studer grant. They were the ones that got the Lilly scholarship. They were the ones that always, you know, had the best look and the voted most likely to succeed. And then you're the younger brother of that. Imagine if you were the younger brother of Jesus. That's funny to me. Talk about comparing sibling rivalry. Jesus had multiple brothers and sisters. And can you imagine being the younger brother of Jesus? And they're like, guys, I got an A on this test. And Jesus is like, yeah, but I wrote the course. Guys, I actually made the team. And Jesus is like, well, I'm the starter. I kind of like hit the game-winning shot every time. I'm always amazing. Guys, I like helped and served and did this thing. It's like, yeah, but I just raised somebody from the dead today. Sorry. You just don't ever quite measure up. And so here's Othniel. His whole life, he's living in the shadow of a man named Caleb. Just wonder how many times do we go through and you're like, man, I just didn't measure up. Or brother or sister was chosen more, or they liked them more. Or you know what? I try my hardest and I've been picked for leadership, but yet why does this guy get the promotion or this person gets? And here's Othniel potentially coming through his childhood, just feeling like, man, I was just maybe the leftover pick. I was just kind of the last one, the last pup to the bowl, perhaps. And maybe you've gone through things like that, and God's saying, you know what, there's some things in there that I would want to heal, because while everybody else might pick, and they might look at who the superstars are, I look for those that are just faithful, that just love me and just stay in the game. And Othniel, I want to raise you up and do something powerful in your life. The next one we come to is Ehud. Ehud, the Bible says, is left-handed. Doesn't mean that much in this particular day, but in that particular day, if you were left-handed, it was thought to be a physical weakness. It was thought to be a handicap. In my family, I'm about the only one that's not left-handed. I feel like I'm the one that's kind of out of place here. My son Judah is a lefty. My dad's a lefty. My grandpa's a lefty. Aunts, my sister's a lefty. And I'm like the righty here in the family. And it was thought to be this physical weakness because we just didn't understand that back in the day. And so here's Othniel. The Bible says that Othniel, as he's going into the enemy king, and they're going to take out this enemy king. And I got to show you, do I have this little note card from Judah? I might not have it. I do have it. So Ehud is who we're talking about here. And I'm doing some sermon prep, and Judah writes on this little post-it note. And he writes, Ehud, left-handed, King Eglon, very fat man. You just got to, you know, keep it with what is the important details of the story. And so Ehud, it says that he built a sword that was a foot and a half long and strapped it to his right thigh, which I love, because maybe you're not thinking that he's going to pull it from his right thigh because he's left-handed, whatever, right? I just like that the Bible has these details. And so he's going into King Eglon, and he's going to wipe out the enemy king. And as he goes in, he's bringing this peace offering and this treaty to before the king. And right before he makes this great exchange, it says that he reaches for his sword, he pulls it out, or he walks up to King Eglon and says, I have a word of the Lord for you. And the king begins to stand. As he stands, Ehud charges him, sticks this sword through his gut so far that it says that it shoots out his back. And he was a very fat man, and that the fat circled and enclosed around the sword. Bobby, you look like you're about to throw up right now. I didn't make this up. The Bible says this. The Bible is saying this. And then as he sticks him and he leaves, and the fat begins to enclose around the sword, he's like, whoa, that was gross. The fat almost like swallowed my hand right here. And the Bible details this. And as he falls back, Ehud is sneaking out of the king's chambers, and he locks the doors so that nobody can get in and find him. And he's off on his horse into the wild, wild west, and he's out of there. The king's servants show up, and they're trying to get in because they're saying, man, the king has been in here for a long time. They find that the doors are locked. The Bible says this. Read your Bibles. It's so fun. It says that the servants were so embarrassed because the king had been in there for a long time, they thought that the king was relieving himself. That's funny. And so they think that the king's in there doing his personal business, so they kind of stay away for a little bit, and they said, man, he's been in there for so long, this is embarrassing even for us. So they go and they get a key, they unlock the king's chambers, they go in there to find out that he is dead and Ehud is long gone. I just wonder if it's possible that in the midst of frailties and physical weaknesses, everybody's got their head down, you're all reading that story right now, which I love that, is that God would use even handicaps, even things that you say, I don't fit, I'm just different. Why does for all of human history have to know that I'm left-handed? Why do they have to know that I have this physical weakness? Why do they have to know that I was cow-eyed Leah? Why do I have to know that I had these things that just made me different? Why does that have to be the billboard of my life that everybody can see that I have these weaknesses? And God's saying, I choose you on my team. And I want to do something awesome and powerful in your life. I love seeing overcomers, people that have been in like mega accidents, or perhaps they were born with physical frailties and they become motivational speakers. Or I watch these motivational like workout videos with people with no legs running, you know, in these races. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can surely get up and act like I want to run today. These people that are going for it and getting after it, or wounded veterans that can just pursue and get after life. I love it. And no matter what you have been through, God's saying, the story's not over. I still want to do more inside of you. You go to the next one here, Shamgar. Shamgar, the Bible says that one day the enemy is coming in, and Shamgar picks up a stick and beats 600 to death. That's my noises that, like, you know, James Bond would make or something like that. This is Jason Bourne on steroids. Whenever I watch Jason Bourne, I'm like, no way. I mean, like, surely somebody would have come to by now and just, like, pull the trigger, boom, you're dead. Like, no, that stuff doesn't happen, right? And it's like, how can you beat all these people up? Shamgar picks up an ox prod, is what the Bible says, a stick, and he beats 600 to death. This unbelievable feat in history. And you know how much attention he got? He gets one verse. You ever feel like, man, I have crushed it? I've done nothing but succeed. I have tried my hardest, and why can nobody see it? And why is there not recognition? And perhaps there's even something deep, aching pain that's 20, 50 years old inside of you. Dad, why couldn't you see me? Mom, why couldn't you see me? I followed through and I did this and I did this and I did this. And why is there not enough credit? I've only tried to be faithful to what you've called me to do. Man, the standard in my house was so high and I could just never live up to it. Even when I was awesome, I couldn't live up to it. Maybe there's like some just deep pains inside of there. Just overlooked. Overlooked. Maybe even just felt at times just overwhelmed. 600 charging you. And God says, no, not overlooked and not overwhelmed, an overcomer. And you can do all things when Christ comes up on the inside of you. And hey, I just want to encourage you, it's not that anybody else has seen you, but I have seen you. And my eyes range to and fro throughout the earth. And I have seen you faithful. I have seen you awesome. I have seen you in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, when the enemy is charging and you still overcome. I have been faithful through it all. I believe that there is an ache inside of every single person on the planet. And there's this question inside of all of us. And the question is, do you see me? Do you see me, spouse? Do you see me, parents? Do you see me, boss? Does anybody see what I'm doing? And why is there not enough credit? And here's Shamgar. It says that he's the son of Anath. Just a small town boy. Not much, probably, exposure. Not much schooling. Not much learning. Not much refining. Just good old country boy. With an ox goad, ready to kick some booty. I don't know about you, but I kind of like being the underdog. I kind of like being in this small town, the little engine that could. Hey, we might be small, but we are mighty. I like being in this thing where everybody would just maybe look past. We're a flyover state, right? We're a flyover town. We're a four-way stop. We don't even really care. We just kind of move on. And God's saying, no, this is the stuff that Rudy is made of. This is the stuff that Hoosier's all about. This is Shamgar, what I choose all of the time. I want to encourage you, don't be embarrassed or live in any sort of shame for all of your smallness or even being overlooked for doing awesome things. God sees. God's the rewarder of those that are just faithful to him. Stay in it. Even when nobody else sees, stay in it. Keep your heart full of integrity before the Lord when nobody else can see. The next one is a woman by the name of Deborah. I wonder what her weakness was. I wonder what her frailty was. I wonder what her problem was. I wonder what she had to go through in her life. She was a woman, which would have made her very disconnected as far as points of leadership back in that day. And whenever no other man was able to step up to lead, Deborah is the woman who comes up to lead. Let me tell you this story. So the king, Sisera is his name, the enemy king. The enemy king is on the run. And Deborah reaches out. Let's actually read chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. She reaches out to the general, the army leader, Barak. Barak said to her, let's actually rewind a little bit. Deborah tells the general, hey, I want you guys to go off to war. I want you guys to reclaim, our people. We got to protect the land. And Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Here's what it's like. I'll tell Nora, hey, you need to go downstairs. It's at night. Go downstairs and get this, whatever. And she's like, I'll go if you go with me, right? This house is 130 years old. Every board is groaning. It's like, don't step on me. Oh, like the house just creaks. Right now it's just creaking. You can almost hear it. Nobody's even stepping on it. It's just, right? Anybody got one of those? And I love it. It's just like it talks to you the whole time that you're walking around. And she's like, oh, it's freaky and it's scary and it's dark. And so, but Judah, I'll go if you go with me. And here's the army general that looks at Deborah and says, Deborah, I'll go downstairs if you come with me. I'll go to war if you come with me. Look at Deborah's response in verse 9. It says, very well, Deborah said, I will go with you. But because of the way that you are going about this, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. And all the ladies said, hey, amen. Yeah, they said, bring it on, brother. And so the king of the Sisera, the king, he's on the run. And they wipe out everybody. It's not like we're condoning, like, go and wipe out people. But this is the Wild Wild West, and they're fighting over protecting their land because there's these tyrants that are trying to reign and rule over Israel, and they're fighting back. And so there's, in the midst of this fight, Sisera is on the run. And he sneaks away into this other town or village, and there's another woman by the name of Jael. And Jael is sneaky. You know why she's sneaky? Because she's a woman, and women are sneaky. And you know you're sneaky. You know that you're sneaky. You're like, hey, I got him on this one. I got him. You know that that you get us, man, and you mess with us. I mean, from the jump, Eve, oh, golly, she just tricked us, whatever, right? And we follow you every time. Man, you have so much power. And so Jael, she's at the opening of her tent, and the king of Sisera is running. And she goes, hey, king, come on into my tent. Come on over here. I'll hide you in here. Come on over here. And it's a woman that God uses. And so it says that he's like, thank you so much. I'm thirsty and I'm exhausted from the battle and from this war that I've been in. Can I have a drink? And she's like, yeah, I'll hook you up. So she gives him some milk, the Bible says. And then he says that he's passed out. And would you watch at the door in case anybody comes and you would tell me and wake me up so that I can get out of here? And she goes, sounds like a plan. Great idea, idiot. All right. So she sneaks out of the tent and she grabs a tent post, a tent peg out of the tent. She walks back inside and he's laying there asleep. put it right through his head. Stuck his head right to the ground. Used the sneakiness of a woman to kill an enemy that no other judge could kill. Through Deborah and through Jael. And I'll tell you, I don't know what the stigmas and the stereotypes are about your life, whether it's being a woman, it's being maybe different handicaps, maybe it's physical, maybe it's your last name, maybe it's who your daddy was, maybe whatever those things that overshadow you. You think, how am I ever going to bust through and break through these things, right? God says, yep, that's the kind of one that I want to do. No other man, Barack, you're not going to do it, man. You're going to be scared to death. But a couple of women are going to wipe out this enemy king. What are those things that just like, man, this just replays in the back of my head. And I cannot power through. I cannot get through this thing. And God's saying, I just want to rewire some thinking this morning. I want to reshift. I want to recalibrate some stuff. I want to just kind of clear the mechanism and just get some clarity here, because all of these things have polluted your vision and you won't go and execute on what I've called you to execute. For some reason, you're just jammed up right here. Maybe it's age. Well, I'm past my prime. I just can't do it anymore. I don't have any more influence. My kids are grown and gone. I can't have any more impact. Whatever they are, we make some excuses and we excuse ourselves maybe from what God is calling us to do. And I just want to encourage you. Don't buy it. Don't buy into it. Don't God say, you can't do it. You're a woman. You can't do it. You've got too much mistakes in the past. You can't do it. You don't speak very well. You can't do it. You're not a good leader. Remember last time that you tried to do this and you got smacked. Don't do it. Play it safe. Whatever those things that just weigh in on you, this morning we want to pray that they would just be busted off by the power of the Holy Spirit. He would come upon and do something really, really good. Let's keep going. Gideon. So God used this man named Gideon. The Midianites are coming through and they're wiping out everything that Israel has. And so imagine being a farmer, and here's the deal. They would plant all year and they're putting seed in the ground to get this harvest. And as soon as the harvest came, Dan, imagine this. You are hustling and you are working, and all of a sudden you have an enemy that hates you. And as soon as the harvest is up, Curtis, they come through and they tear it all away. They light all of the fields on fire. It says there was not any cattle, any livestock, or any grain left for any of the Israelites. Can you imagine that being as a farmer? And year after year, you're grinding and you're putting seed in the ground and then it's all just wiped away and you're like, oh, you got nothing to feed your family. You've been financially devastated. Everything is completely gone. And what Gideon does is Gideon makes a small harvest. It says that he has a little bit of grain. And he's hiding out because the Midianites are going to come in, and Gideon's just trying to feed his family one more day. And so he's threshing grain in the wine press, which you don't thresh grain in the wine press. But that's where he's going because he's hiding out and he's scared to death. And I just got to protect and keep mine. And I got to, this probably has some good motives in there. He wants to feed his family, but he's not the warrior that God's called and created him to be. So he's hiding. And an angel of the Lord comes and says, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, who, me? Me? I just wet my tunic. I'm scared to death right now. I'm hiding out in the wine press. I don't know what's about to do. I'm just trying to give my family just a little bit of grain so we can get through another day. I'm not a man of valor. I can't take the city. I just want one more meal. And he says, nope, you're a mighty man of valor. And he begins to speak identity over him, calling him up. There's a difference between being called out. When you get called out, that's embarrassing, right? That's like kind of like condemnation we talked about last week. But to be called up. And he calls him up and he says, you're better than this. You're mighty. You're powerful. You're a man of valor. You're a man of character and integrity. And there's something better for you. Come on, let's go. And he begins to pour identity upon him. I'll tell you, the power of being in the presence. You get bathed in identity. You get baptized in knowing who you are. You hear the voice of the Lord ringing loud and clear inside. You have an angel of the Lord says, you are strong. You are powerful. You are not your past. You are the presence of God. And God's presence comes upon a person, and the old has gone and the new has come. And where you feel like you're not enough, God says, I'm more than enough. When you feel like you're overwhelmed, God says, you're more than a conqueror. And he begins to flip the script. And these areas where you feel like there's no way that I can do it, I've so lost in the game of life. I've lost in marriage. I've lost, you know how many times that I've been whatever. I've been divorced. I've messed up my family. My kids don't love me. I've been financially ruined. And I'm a man of valor. I'm a man of character and integrity. Are you kidding me? Yep. And he has this encounter with the Lord. And God begins to speak fresh identity over him. And he begins to hulk up. He begins to have this bad case of swoliosis in the spirit. He swells up in the spirit. And it says that he rallies 32,000 troops. 32,000 troops are now going to follow Gideon, who one day was scared to death, the next day is leading the city. And as they are heading off to war, God says, Gideon, this is way too many people. Because you got such a massive amount of troops, you guys are going to take the glory for this win, and I really want to thin out the team. So he starts putting the team to the test, and he just asks them, he says, hey, how many of you all are scared to head off to war? And like 20,000 people raise their hand. And he says, good, don't need you, go home, have fun with your kids. Anybody else? All right, yeah, we're with you. And God says, this is still too many people. He says, do another test. Have them kneel down, and if they lap at the water from the creek like dogs, and they got their head down, they're not fit for battle. I want men that will kneel and bring the water to their mouth because they're always on the ready. Those are the guys that we're going to use. And there's only 300 men left. And so Gideon and the mighty 300. Don't know that it was Leonidas. It might have been Gideon. But Gideon goes into this Leonidas mode with his mighty 300, and they head off to war, and they wipe out the Midianites, and they rescue their people. And God gets all of the glory. I want to tell you something. Maybe even you had these moments of massive success and you felt like I was on top of the world. I got 32,000 at my back. And I just don't have a whole lot left. God says, perfect. I'll use the little bit that's left to do unbelievable things. Y'all might think I'm crazy this morning and this is just like some hyped up motivational speech. I'm just telling you what God has historically done with little frail people. And hopefully inspire some faith. And whatever you've got going, God is big enough. What's the next one here? We keep flipping. We go to chapter 10, maybe. Chapter 10. There's a man by the name of Tola. I wonder what his problem was. And his daddy's name is Pua. And his granddaddy's name is Dodo. I wonder what his problem was. Anybody ever embarrassed of the family you come from? You just don't fit, man. Maybe the black sheep, or maybe I don't have a whole lot of pride in my dad or my granddad. Don't have a whole lot of pride in mom. Don't have a whole lot of pride in the small town I came from. I mean, it was just a Tola, Pua, Dodo sort of a upbringing. And you're like, how did I make it through this? And somehow here I am, and I don't know how I got here because I didn't get much. I didn't get a head start in life. Everybody else, it seems like they were born on third base and they're about to score. And I'm still in the dugout. I'm figuring out how to get my uniform on. I was so far set back. Maybe you didn't even have parents that were there for you. I think this one could sting a little bit. It's like, Dad, where were you, man? I just needed more. Oh, I wanted to take pride in our family, and there's just nothing to be proud of here. Maybe there's some of that sort of stuff, and God wants to kind of rewrite the script of your legacy. I really believe this. I do. That there's just maybe not much that we can come from, and yet God would say, but there's a whole lot here that I can work with that can really be really good. And move the cloak of embarrassment and shame of just a bad family name and say, you know what, despite generations, you don't have to live in generational addiction, you don't have to live in generational poverty, you don't have to live this Tola, Pua, Dodo anymore, because I'm calling you up to another level. There's just more. There just is. There's another one. His name is Jair, or as you would pronounce it in the Jewish way, is Year is his name. The Bible says this, he has nothing but success, but he only gets three verses. And here's what the three verses say. He was born, he reigned and ruled, He had three sons that rode three donkeys, and they took over three cities. And then he died. The guy had nothing but success. Can you imagine raising up three sons that are absolute stud muffins? And they ride 30 donkeys, which you didn't necessarily need a donkey back in the day, but if you had a donkey to ride around on, it was like the Cadillac, okay? So these guys, they're hanging out, they've got the Cadillac, they are the judges and the reigners and the rulers of the day, and so they come in, you know, in the mayor's limo, and they roll up in there, and they're reigning and ruling over 30 different cities, and there's like, and then he died, and it's over. And to have huge success, and to really not get noticed for it. Perhaps there's some of you in there, and I kind of went deeper into Year's life. I'm like, what else do we know about this guy? Where did he come from? What did he do in life? You can't find it. You can't find it. I want to encourage you, man, stay faithful to what God has called you to do, disconnected from the opinions of everybody else. Everybody else, they've got the opinions on you. They've got your story figured out. They think they know. I just want to tell you, when it gets really quiet around, it gets really good because you hear the voice of the Lord. And God's just saying, stay faithful. Raise up your son. Raise up your daughter. Raise them up to lead, to reign, and to rule. Come on, don't give up. Raise up those grandbabies. Pour your guts into them. Disconnected from what everybody else thinks ought to happen, come on, double down, triple down on this. Because this is what I delight in, would say the Lord. And it's good. It's really good. Really good. Another man by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah's mother was a prostitute. His mother was a harlot, the Bible says. I wonder what his problem was. A bad past. Imagine walking, you're showing up to school. Mom wasn't there that last night. Nobody helped with homework. Mom's not around. Mom's not making dinner. You got to figure it out by yourself. Everybody else in town's been with your mom. She's the prostitute of the town, of the village. And you're a byproduct of that. Maybe even unintentional, being a child of a prostitute. Maybe you even were told you were an accident baby. You were our oops baby. You were not part of the plan. You were unplanned. We weren't really thinking about you. This was not on purpose. You weren't created purposefully. Oops, and now you're here. And while that might not be the heart of the parents, those were the words that were communicated, and they landed hard. And they just kind of stuck. Maybe there's been some pretty heavy stuff that mom and dad have done that just kind of like weigh on you or hang over you, or maybe you've had to pay the price, or you're like, we just didn't have the right family name in that community, so we never got a fair shake. Whatever those things are. Not anymore. God says, perfect. I'll raise him up. I'll use this one. I'll use this guy to do something awesome and powerful. And he does pretty cool things. I'm going to bring this thing to a close. Another man by the name of Samson. I wonder what his problem was. Samson, an uncontrollable desire. He couldn't control it. Pursuing after Delilah. He's a guy that took a Nazarite vow so that he would never go around anything from the vine. He would never go around any wine. He would never go around anything that was dead, right? And he would never cut his hair. And then he ends up his life in chains, his eyes gouged out. And God says, I want to use you, Samson. Perhaps you have uncontrollable desires sometimes. Maybe there's addictive personality in sort of there. Maybe you base your life off of what you want rather than off of wisdom. And you're just like, I don't know, I just want it, so I'm just going to go buy it. I want it, so I'm just going to go after that person. I want this relationship, so I'm going to force it to happen. It's whatever I want, I'm going to make it happen. That was Samson. And sometimes those addictive personalities or those hungry, can't control the desires, get you caught. And God says, I can still use that. I can still use it. Don't know what they are. Don't know what the past has been. But I think that God wants to use us in spite of all of it. He's an overcoming God. And he looks at all of our past. He looks at all of our weaknesses. He looks at all of it. And he says, yep, this is the perfect recipe for me to get maximum glory right here. Right now, I want you to think that we're picking up teams. And God's looking at the team, and he picks the kid that dribbles off his toe every time. He picks him first. He picks the one that can't even throw the ball. He's like, yep, I'll take them. I'm going to load my team up with that. And I'm so thankful that he's loaded his team with me. And I say, Jesus, here's the little bit that I've got to offer. And if you could use it, I'll do it. And he's like, oh, I can use it. I can use it. So here's what we want to do this morning. We want to pray. God, open my eyes because I'm just so clouded by all of the areas where I can't. God, would you allow me to see where I can? Where I can make impact, where I can have influence, where I can make a dent, where I can do these things because I just don't see where it's going to happen. And then we're going to lift some of those embarrassments off. We're going to pray that shame and that guilt off. We're going to pray all those heavy things off so we can run, baby, run. The Bible would say it this way. It would say, cast off all of the things that so easily entangle you so that you can run the race that's marked out for you. Would you all stand as we close this morning? And we want to pray that we would get a hold of this thing, man, and no longer live by our past, but allow Jesus to redefine our future. Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to open our eyes, the eyes of our spirit, that we would be able to see in a new way. Lord, I pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we would be able to see in a new way. For some of you, you've had such words spoke over you that you won't amount to anything, that you come from this family, that you've done those things, and the enemy is a liar, and you've given him access to lie to you. You've believed it. You've partnered with the enemy. And God would say, no more. I want you to start realizing that I've picked you for my team, and let's go. Let's go do some fun stuff. Let's win. Let's do some great, overcoming, powerful things. Jesus, I just pray over the mindset right now, God, that you would just shift, that we would think with the mind of God. We would execute with the mind of Christ. Jesus, I pray for influence right now, God. We just ask you that we would have courage, even in the midst of our weakness, that we'd have courage to pursue you and do everything that you've called and created us to be. Free your church, Lord. Free us so that we can do everything that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.